What is up, podcast listeners, for this week in the Rio Grande Valley and the all-new Alexa listeners? Thanks for tuning in, guys. I really appreciate it. All the 12 people that I see listening to my episodes, it's, man, I know it's it sounds kind of funny, but I'm actually excited. I'm actually appreciative, and I really appreciate having, like, at least some people listen to these podcasts, because, I mean, oh, man, it keeps me going, pretty much. It motivates me. If I could help at least one person out by giving one reasoning to my madness, one tip, one trick, whatever it is, whatever you can take from it, oh, it just makes it all worthwhile, the endless hours of trying to build something. So yesterday I headed out to the Boca Chica Beach in Brownsville. There was an article on over the weekend on Saturday by The Monitor, which is the leading newspaper here in this area, and they had released that that SpaceX had just built the prototype for their, I think, what's it called, something, I don't know, their space rocket, pretty much. And I had been wanting to see it, and I had been putting it off, and then finally, now that they said that it was completely built, I went out there, took some aerial shots, took some pictures. So if you'd like, you can log on to my Facebook official page. I'm going to be posting a video on YouTube as well, so y'all may want to tune into that. It's pretty amazing. It looks phenomenal, and I see it the way I see it is, it's kind of... Now, this is just a prototype, so keep that in mind, and it's a lot smaller than what the actual space rocket is going to be, so it's a slightly different, slightly smaller, so you got to keep that in mind. But I do see, man, when you see it, it's majestic, and to see it towering over the Rio Grande Valley or the South Padre Island skyline is just amazing. I kind of see it the way the Empire State Building was and the Twin Towers was for New York and the nation. I kind of see that as that majestic, that power towering over the Rio Grande Valley, the hidden gem that the Rio Grande Valley is. I see it as a symbol of the greatness that the RGB is for SpaceX for SpaceX to have decided to build their launch pad here. Is just speaks greatly of the RGB and how, what a gem it is. So I'm super excited about it. I was looking over the so SpaceX moved in about around 2012. They started negotiating the deals, and I started looking at the home prices at that time around the Brownsville, Harlingen, Brownsville, Harlingen metropolitan statistical area. And what I was seeing, it was that the median prices and the average home prices around that time was around under $110,000. And now the last reporting, November 2018, the median home price was $155,000. Now, I'm not saying that SpaceX contributed completely towards it. There was absolutely more factors, the growing economy, so many other projects that are happening in the Cameron County area, like completely infrastructure rebuilding, and building a new bridge over the South Padre Island on the north side, and there's some LNG plants that are being prospected there, also in the Brownsville area. The Brownsville port of entry, port of Brownsville is supposed to be the primary port of entry for all the shipments coming into Panama in the near future. So, and there's also Ferris wheel that just came out that they're going to be building on South Padre Island. So it's growing, and there's so many things that are happening, not just in Brownsville, but in the McAllen area. So anywhere that you're here, like you can see, man, for decades, the appreciation of the homes were maybe around 3%. It was below average, but below the national average. We had a much more stable housing market than all the other major metropolitan areas in Texas and nationwide. We never saw the big upswings or the big downswings, and we still don't see them. But the appreciation that has happened over the last few years, I think it has been a bit of an improvement. I was surprised to see over the weekend that a lot of the houses that are on the market, it's not uncommon to see houses under over 200,000, 300,000, 400,000, which was, it's surprising, because not too long ago, it was it was uncommon to see that. You would see 150, topping maybe 200,000, and now to see those big prices, like, man, that market is really hot right now. So it's super amazing. So that's a little tip. This is part of the This Week in the Rio Grande Valley housing portion of the segment of the podcast. So I hope that is helpful to anybody who's listening. It just provides a little insight on how hot the market is, how great, how much of a gem the Rio Grande Valley is, which may not be for too long more, because all eyes are on the Rio Grande Valley right now, especially for space, because of SpaceX and the space race with SpaceX. So hope I didn't confuse you there. But anyway, so I kind of want to talk about a little some breakthroughs that I had over the weekend. We watched the Hell or High Water over the weekend on Netflix. Oh, super amazing movie. Two great actors. I can't remember the names off the top of my head, but the moral of the story is just amazing. It's just the things that we do for family and the things we do to have our legacy, or to make our legacy start with us or with our kids. It's just super amazing. It's something that resonates with me because it's something that I've been fighting and I've been taking head on over the past couple of years. It's the big reason, or the big why, I've been doing what I've been doing for the past couple of years. So the long story short, it's two brothers. One of them, the older brother, has been in and out of jail for many years, and the younger brother, who's a straight arrow, has a clean record. He sets up a scheme to start robbing banks to raise money because their mother had just died, and he inherited the ranch, the family ranch, which was about to be repossessed by the banks due to a reverse mortgage. And so the thing is that they had just struck oil and they were about to start getting some mail money, so the bank wanted to keep that money. And so the brother, they came up with that scheme, and the older brother ended up losing his life at the end of the movie. That was a big journey. That was a big epiphany. And then the one who set the things in motion, he actually kind of got away with it, you can say. But the more the story is that he was doing it for his kids. So there had been generation after generation of poverty, of struggling, having that scarcity mentality. And they saw it as a disease that kept plaguing the family. And so he wanted to do something about it and have that legacy begin with his kids. So he is willing to risk his life, put everything on the line, so his kids could benefit from that mail money and actually have a future. And so it's a very moving story. He ends up transferring the title over to his sons, which are already set in place. They're set for life, and hopefully they can use that to kickstart their new legacy, which is super amazing. The means to the ends is questionable, but I mean the story is just so powerful. And then we ended up watching The Mule with Clint Eastwood over the weekend on the drive, the Westmere Drive-In, which I definitely want to do a segment on, just because I think the Westmere Drive-In is the last standing drive-in in the entire region, and it's probably one of the last ones in the entire nation, which I kind of want to do a segment on that, do a little bit of research, how many are still left standing. And it's like, you get two features for like a fraction of the price of a regular theater, so it's super amazing. We go pretty often, and it's a great family time that we have, so it's super amazing. We saw The Mule, which kind of, I was expecting it to be more action, more, gunfights and explosions, stuff like that, a regular Clint Eastwood movie, you know, but it was far from it. But the moral of the story was just so amazing. Another story that kind of it touched close to home, and it helped me put things into perspective as far as my journey, what it is right now, because a lot of us, we get into the hustle and bustle of things, we get tunnel vision and we get on the grind, and we lose sight of the bigger picture, why we're doing what we're doing. A lot of times we end up running out of time. For example, myself, over the last 13 years I've been working my ass off to build something, and then in a blink of an eye, it's like my kids were already grown up, and my oldest is going to be 16 in May, and it's like, I just pretty much lost all that time, missed out on their childhood. So pretty much the long story short on the movie, Clint Eastwood is a lifelong businessman. He has a ranch. He belongs to all kinds of community groups like the BFW and stuff like that. And he thinks that he's building all that. He's working all. He's been working all his life to be able to provide for his family. But he ends up losing the family. He ends up getting a divorce. His kids hate him. And he ends up losing his ranch to foreclosure. And he ends up working for the drug cartels as a mule. Starts making a lot of money and then has that big epiphany that why he's doing what he's doing when he finally ends up losing his wife to cancer, or his ex-wife to cancer, and kind of opens up his eyes that he spent all his life trying to build something when what really mattered was most important to him was time, which he could not get back, and that was the time with his family. And so it was a super powerful. The movie is long, it's like 2 hours, or maybe even longer than 2 hours, but it's super powerful. And it brought it close to home, man. I was just like, oh, like I spend all this time trying to worrying about business and about money and about the shit that doesn't even matter. And forgive my language, but man, I get passionate about this stuff, and it's like all those things they're not gonna matter 30, 40 years from now. And it's like I get that tunnel vision. I have to sometimes step back and reflect and really put things into perspective. What is really important to me? Why did I start this journey, which was ultimately for my kids, my family, and like I mentioned earlier, to have that legacy begin with me. Although that the movies weren't really the one that resonated with me as far as a family thing goes was, well, both did, but the first movie, the Hell or High Water, the poverty part of it is, it's not exactly an exact mirror of my background, because a lot of my background, my family, my uncles, stuff like that, they're professionals, they're educated, but I come from, my brother and I, we come from a broken marriage, and we know that the struggle is real. We were raised by a single mother who worked 16-hour shifts, sometimes two jobs at a time, just to provide for us. But we know that the struggle is real. We've been through it. We've experienced that poverty, that scarcity mentality, and so it was really impactful to see it from that point of view. And so you definitely got to watch both movies, Hell or High Water on Netflix, and the Mule on. It's on theaters right now. So that was it. I had recorded this segment before, and I don't think the first time I lost it, the second time I did it, I feel like I rushed through it and I wasn't really giving my full insights on it. So I recorded this. I hope you get a little bit of insight, or a little bit of, I hope it helps. I hope it sparks something and ignites that spark that gets you moving towards your end goals and that direction. Put some perspective into life, whatever it can do. And some housing tips, man. Of course, that's what this whole podcast is about. So next up is going to be Mr. Mario Gutierrez with MG Wealth Strategies on the next segment. Super wonderful guy. Little backstory on Mario. I met him at a speakers club, at a local speakers club. Interestingly enough, when he got up to give his update as far as how he was doing, how everything was going and all that stuff, he ended up mentioning that he had been to 10X Growth Con last year with Grant Cardone. And it's like, oh my God, I was there. And it's like, why? We come from a very small piece of heaven here in the Rio Grande Valley. And it's like, oh, we were both there at the same time. And I wish we could have connected over there. It would have been so wonderful. And we had been planning this conversation, this talk for quite some time. And it just never came through. And he took the initiative. So shout out to Mario. He took the initiative to actually say, you know what? We're going to do this today. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And we ended up doing so. He provides some very good tips on building that legacy, setting yourself up for the future, for retirement and all that good stuff. So I hope you can get some tips, tricks, advice from him, because he provides just a wealth of knowledge. And one of the big things is you don't need to be ultra wealthy, ultra rich to be able to plan for the future. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Stay tuned for the next segment. Thanks for tuning in. Please like, share, comment, and review this podcast. Let me know what you would like for me to feature. I would really appreciate it. What do you think? Hey, yays, nays, whatever it is, so it can help me improve it and provide as much value as I can for you guys. So thanks for tuning in. I love you guys. Peace. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Eddie Picasso, and I'm your host on This Week in the RGB. So this is going to be a segment on part of the personal finance segment of the podcast. And initially, I wanted to do just a recording, but my friend, good old Mario Gutierrez, was going to be talking to us today, giving us some tips, tricks, and all that good stuff about wealth management. He wanted to go on video, man. He felt brave today, so he's gonna help us out, and give us some tips, and talk to us a little bit about personal finance, how we can set our ducks in a row and get our finances in order, so we can accomplish all those life goals. And I have this one saying that I've mentioned before, something I say to myself, that due to my background of broken marriage and all that good stuff, that I wanted for the legacy to start with me. And I think what Mario has to share with us today is a perfect example of how to get that going, how to start your legacy. So I'm gonna bring on Mario. We're gonna do a video feed right now. And so here he is. Let me introduce you guys to him.
Hey everybody, Mario Gutierrez here with MG Wealth Strategies.
All right, so Mario, so tell us a little bit about what you do. What exactly is wealth management?
Okay.
Or how did you get into it? How did you want to help people?
Okay. Well, I got into this financial planning or wealth management business about 10 years ago. I studied international business, so I didn't even study finance in college. But I met a financial advisor, and I thought it was really interesting what he was doing, how he helped his clients. And he was kind enough to let me join his firm, his office. And after a few years, I branched out and opened my own firm in McAllen, and it's called MG Wealth Strategies. So it was just kind of destiny, I would say. I just met a random guy. He was a financial advisor.
Nice.
And he invited me to join his business.
So this is your background. This is what you've done all your adult life. It's in your blood pretty much, huh?
Yeah, the first thing that I did after college was selling cars. So the first thing that I did right out of college was I was trying to find a job. So I sold Land Rovers and Jaguars for a few months.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. But that was it.
Okay, nice. So you're married, you have a little boy, right? I got to hear him on the phone the other day.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that the knowledge that you have is a great example, not just for him, but to be able to set that legacy in place for not only yourself, but your son moving forward. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm married. It's going to be 9 years this February, and we have two kids actually.
Oh, two kids.
I have a 6.5-year-old Mario and a 4-year-old Santiago. And absolutely, yeah, they're my motivation. They're why I do what I do, and why we grind every day. Yeah, that's it.
There's no bigger why than the kids, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm big on purpose, and I'm big on your why. I'm a big Tony Robbins fan, so I talk about the why and the purpose a lot. So I think it plays perfectly into the whole scenario. So I'm glad he brought that up. So Mario, what I really wanted to ask you, being your field, and it's completely related to what I'm doing on my end, and I think it'll help the people out a lot. If you could tell us the three hidden pitfalls that you encounter the most when you're trying to help clients out, something that they've overlooked something, and it's a big aha moment when you start talking to them you're able to get them on the right path. What are those three most common hidden pitfalls that you come across?
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a common denominator. Like you say, it might be one, it might be three, but there are these two, three things that are always that pitfall that you're talking about. But before we go there, let me tell you very quickly why I do what I do, and I miss that right now. So I have a core set of beliefs. First of all, I believe that everyone can create wealth. As long as you have a job and you're making some money, you can create wealth. I believe that everyone can create wealth. Number two, I believe that rich people work for money and wealthy people have money work for them. And that's very important, right? Because we want our money to be working for us and not the other way around, right? And that's gonna bring me to one of those pitfalls. And because of this, what I do is I help my clients, offering them investment strategies to work towards their financial goals, okay? So that said, what are the pitfalls? Why do people end up 60 or 70 years old without money, without a retirement plan, relying on the, you know, itty bitty amount of money that they get from Social Security, right? Number one, they don't have a plan, okay? A lot of people feel intimidated by sitting in front of or setting an appointment with a financial advisor to talk, okay? Financial advisors talk to broke people every single day. We expect to get calls from people that don't know about money or investments, but that they want to get on track, right? So most people just don't plan. Most people don't plan, they don't have goals, they because they're afraid of sitting in front of a financial advisor to ask the questions, okay? To sit in front of a financial advisor and say, hey, I'm not prepared, okay? Second, so that's number one. People aren't prepared, people aren't setting goals, they don't have an objective, they don't have a plan.
So let me stop you right there before you go on to the next one. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I kind of wanted to go a little bit deeper on that as far as, so this is not just for the wealthy. This is for anybody who's just, because I know a lot of people avoid getting themselves in that situation or going to talk to a financial planner because they think that it's for money, people with money who actually have something to invest. Right?
No, that's, yeah, exactly. I have clients here in McAllen that have net worths of $50 million, and I manage maybe, you know, $5, $10, $15 million for some people. But I have clients that are starting an investment plan with $200, $300, $500 a month because I know that I have to cater to different niches, right? So I have people that are starting out. Maybe they're 30, maybe they're 40 years old, but they're starting, right? And I get them on the path, so I help them set a plan, okay? To be able to get to those rich people, right? To be able to achieve actual wealth and end up, you know, 20, 30 years from now with $2, $3 million to retire. And I have people that are already wealthy, and they might have, you know, $3-4 million or $500,000 in the bank that's not doing much. And I'll come up with a strategy with different financial instruments to help them increase that money, to help them get more return out of that money, to help them have their money work for them.
Nice. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest obstacles that people stop themselves from going towards something like this. That's something that I've read in books like Think and Grow Rich and The Rich Dad and Poor Dad. You mentioned it earlier about the rich people make the money work for them instead of them working or you working for the money, because you can only work so many hours a day and then never get past a certain amount of dollars per hour, etc., right? And so I think that's a great, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because that pretty much, it gives everybody a chance. It's not just for the ultra wealthy or the super wealthy. It's for everybody. Everybody who needs to think about their future. And again, talking about legacy, starting their legacy, right? It's awesome. So I think that was
That was one, you know. So going back a little bit, people need to meet with an advisor or actually come up with a plan, to be able to have something to work towards, right? Another pitfall I would say is debt. We're all getting in too much, absolutely too much debt. We owe everything, okay? And I'm not excluded, okay? Because that's how we were brought up. That's the American system. It's so easy to go buy a a brand new Ford Raptor, right? As long as you're making some money, you can get the money. The finance company's glad to hand over the money, right? So I have so many people that are making good money. Maybe they're making $100,000, $150,000 a year. People that are making money, but they have, you know, a Land Rover, a BMW Series 7 because they think they're rich. So they're driving these big cars with big payments, you know, 2-3 cars, plus the mortgage, plus they owe all their furniture, plus they have a Best Buy card where they have another $10,000, you know, on credit, plus they have credit cards. So, you know, there's all these people that are making, you know, good money, but they're broke. They look rich, but they're broke, right? And that's my job to actually break it to them and say, hey, you might be driving a big BMW or a Range Rover, but my friend, you're broke, right? So after they get their money for the month, all this money goes out in payments to Capital One, to Bank of America, to Best Buy, to, you know, all these credit companies, and they're left with $500, $1,000 after paying for groceries and whatever, and they want to achieve their retirement goals, saving $200 a month, you know, so. Our priorities are all mixed up, right? We're working to pay off debt. Things that seems like we can afford them, but they really can't, you know? So that would be another pitfall, debt. We're getting in too much debt. Everybody owes everything. We look rich, but we're poor.
We act rich,
but
so you heard it here first. Newsflash, if you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, newsflash, the Joneses are broke, so keep that in mind.
A lot of them are, yeah. Another one of the pitfalls, and it goes back to actually planning and setting goals, right? So I meet people that say, oh no, I already have an investment account, right? Okay, good, that investment account might have, you know, $50,000 or $10,000 or $5,000, right? And these people might tell me, you know, I'm already on a plan. I'm saving $500 a month or $1,000 a month. Okay, but what's your objective? Where are those $500 a month going to get you, you know, 30 or 20 years from now? And the answer is usually, well, I don't know. And it's just like, you know, having a very nice wish, right? I'm gonna save $1,000 a month, and 30 years from now, let's just hope that it's, you know, $1 million or $2 million or whatever. So that would be my next pitfall, I guess. You know, people need to sit down and say, okay, if I do this, where is this going to get me 20 or 30 years from now, right? And that brings you to a goal. And that goal is gonna keep you motivated, right? If I tell you, hey, Eddie, if you start saving or investing $1,000 a month for the next 20 or 30 years, and we're using an aggressive growth mutual fund, achieving X return average per year, you're going to have $2 million. Would that motivate you? Absolutely,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Instead of saying, hey, you know, throw $1,000 in your account, let's see where it gets you. That's not very motivating, right? If I know that if I keep saving my $1,000 a month, every month, but I know that I'm gonna end up with $2 million, right, I might, or it's very, very probable that I'm going to decide to invest those $1,000 a month instead of, you know, going on vacation or buying something else.
As you're talking about it, I kind of see it as something similar to a vision board, where you have your vision board that you see every morning, every night, and even though you may not pay attention to it at every moment, your subconscious is so powerful that it's acting in the background, still, without you even knowing, trying to reach that one goal, that one specific goal that you have, whether it's $1 million, reaching towards that end goal in mind, right, at all times. So I like that. That's awesome.
and people just don't realize that they can end up millionaires, you know, if they commit to an investment plan for 15, 20, 30 years. People just don't know. So, you know, and that's my job. That's my goal in life, is to educate people. It's my goal in life to make sure that everybody that I touch ends up a millionaire.
Well, I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad you're here, because one of our philosophies here at this office is education is key, mm-hmm. and we're big advocates for that. So I'm glad you did this with us. I'm glad you gave us all these insights. I want to ask you one more question. So, can you give our audience the best strategy, the best tip that you can give us, where someone can accelerate their wealth or accelerate their success towards their legacy or to setting up that wealth?
Okay. I guess it would be a two-part strategy. And it's not the same for everybody, because everybody's life, everybody's situation is different, right? Some people have to pay
loans, or
exactly. But first part of the strategy is to set goals, right? Second part of the strategy would be you try to get rid of all your debt, or most of your debt. Try to eliminate debt. And part three is pay yourself. And the way that you pay yourself is you open up an investment account with you and you start investing. That's the way that you're going to accelerate your wealth building. Have a goal, okay? Number two, try to eliminate all that debt. Right? When you eliminate all those payments, you're gonna have so much money left every month to invest. It's not gonna be it's gonna be fun to invest every month. Right now, when people have so much debt, it's rough to set aside money, because you know you're taking money from nice things to put in something that's, you know, a long term goal.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. And I thought about it when you were talking about this. And it popped into my mind, the economy. You talked about the debt, and everybody's got so much debt right now. About a year and a half ago, around a year now, I read an article that the real estate market was going to start slowing down in about 16 to 24 months. There's rumors going around now again that there might be an economic slowdown in the next 6 months. So I wanted to ask you, what are your insights? I don't know if you're allowed to even do predictions or anything like that, or give us the insights into the next 6 months, anything to be aware of or anything like that?
Yeah. I wouldn't give a prediction, but a slowdown in the economy, maybe. I wouldn't want to talk too much about that, because I'll answer it this way. If I had a crystal ball and I knew what was going to happen in the next 6 months, man, I wouldn't be here talking to you. We'd probably be in Dubai or in Bora Bora or something. So no, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months. What I can tell you is that you have to be prepared for everything. How do I prepare my clients? I make sure that we have, or that they all have, well-diversified portfolios, well-diversified investments, maybe with some risk, but also trying to make sure that we're preparing, or that we're planning for what ifs. What if we have a recession, right? It'll come eventually. We'll have a recession. So the way that we plan for what ifs 6 years from now, I mean 6 months from now, we just have to be diversified. We have to have good portfolios.
I love that answer. I love it because I know it's that's one of the things, one of the hardest things that I've learned as far as when all my reading, all that. I'm a little bit of a geek, but timing the market is the toughest investment strategy there is, trying to time the market. There's been more losers trying to time the market than there is going for a long-term strategy such as diversified portfolio and what you just mentioned right now. So thank you for saying that. That's awesome. Yeah. Mario, I'd like to thank you very much. Thank you very much for being here with us, coming in and talking to us about what you do. What is it that you do? How is it that you help families? And how is it that you can help a lot more families start their legacy moving forward? So thank you again.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any last words, anything you'd like to say?
No, just thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. I love helping.
Awesome. How can they get a hold of you? Anybody wants to contact you?
Yeah, my website is mgwstrategies.com, or people can find me on my Facebook page. It's MG Wealth Strategies LLC, or on LinkedIn. I'm also Mario Gutierrez, MG Wealth Strategies. That's it.
All right, thank you. Thanks again, guys. Again, I'm Eddie Picasso, your host for this week in the RGV. And so stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in. I love you guys. Peace. Hey, what is up, guys? Welcome back, podcast listeners of this week in the Rio Grande Valley and the all-new Alexa listeners. So I hope you enjoyed that segment with Mr. Mario Gutierrez. Oh, man, that's just a wealth of knowledge. Super amazing guy. One of the big takeaways is, man, you really don't have to be in the ultra-wealthy, ultra-rich to be able to plan for the future and make or help that legacy begin with you and with your kids. If you've had a similar background to mine and you struggle with that scarcity mentality, that poverty that seems to be like a disease, kind of like that movie, I hope you take something away from that. And try not to time the market. If you try to time the market, you're gonna lose. There's more losers and winners in Wall Street. More losers and winners that try to time the market than those that play the long game. So this is definitely building that legacy. It's definitely a long game. So you want to keep that in mind. You definitely want to look out for a financial planner to help you. You wouldn't build a house if you don't know how to build it. You would go out and hire somebody to build a house. You would hire out a contractor, you hire out a plumber, you hire out an electrician, somebody that specializes in what they do. Why would you want to handle your own money when you can have a professional do it for you, guide you in the right direction so you can start building that legacy? So that's all I'm going to say. That's my little rant to end this segment. Again, thanks for tuning in. Please like, share, and comment. And thanks for tuning in, guys. Again, my name is Eddie Picasso, your host for this week in the Rio Grande Valley. Next week, I'm hoping to have that Westmer drive-in showcase on the podcast. So tune in next week. Follow me on my Facebook official page, Eddie Picasso Official, on Instagram or all the other social media platforms at True Eddie Picasso, TRU Eddie Picasso, all together. To take a look at those images when I play hooky and all that good stuff and go touring the RGV so I can showcase some of these hidden gems in the Rio Grande Valley. So thanks for tuning in, guys. I love you guys. Peace.